This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borgers. The Mashpee Wampanoag's billion-dollar casino project in Taunton has hit an unexpected roadblock. All looked clear for a House vote that would confirm the tribe's sovereignty over more than 300 acres of land, including the proposed gaming site. Then President Trump tweeted. He urged Republicans who previously signaled support to vote no, decrying a, quote, special interest casino bill backed by Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, end quote. Democrats promptly scrapped the vote. Now the bill's backers say the president was unduly influenced by a lobbyist representing Rhode Island casinos, a lobbyist whose wife works in the White House. We spoke earlier with the bill's sponsor, Massachusetts Congressman Bill Keating. I began by asking him what he thinks of the president's claim that the bill is unfair to Native Americans.
I would say this. It's just absolutely untrue. This is a bill really to deal with rectifying injustices over the years to an iconic tribe. That tribe has suffered injustice after injustice over the years, and over that period of time, they've lost all their land. And they were finally recognized in 2017, only to have that recognition pulled by the Trump Interior Department.
So besides claiming that the bill is unfair, the president hinted at another motivation. He said that the bill is sponsored by or backed by Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's actually not on this House bill, but she did sponsor a similar bill in the Senate last year.
So the president's tweet was, again, not factual.
But about that, though, I mean, is it a political play? Obviously, Senator Warren is a candidate to oppose him in 2020. Is he just trying to deny her a political victory here, Congressman, or something else?
The president... His actions were political. You know, he signed an identical bill last year. He had no objections last week when the House passed an identical bill for a California Republican. The reason we're left with that he interceded here to try and affect the result is clearly because the head of the conservative PAC, CPAC, a huge supporter and a far right-wing group, in our country.
This is Matthew Schlapp you're talking about.
Yes, and he also has the ability to, in his contract, take on lobbying interests, which is kind of a conflict if you think about it. But one of those lobbying interests was the casinos in Rhode Island. If you look at what happened, he put out a tweet just minutes before the president with great similarity. The president just followed suit. Frankly, and I don't mean it doesn't surprise your listeners, the fact that the president knew the bill number just demonstrates to me that he was getting fed that by his lobbyist. He doesn't know bill numbers.
Well, just to fill in a little bit more detail on the lobbying that you were talking about, so Matthew Schlapp, who runs CPAC, is lobbying for the Twin River Management Group that you mentioned. So those are the Twin River Casino in Rhode Island. They are opposed to this project in Taunton, perhaps because they see some competition. And it's also worth mentioning.
The puzzling thing with that is that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has already acted, and they've granted a casino license for that region. So there will be a casino in that region one way or the other. So I'm really puzzled by the actions of the state of Rhode Island and puzzled by the action of those casino owners that hired one of Trump's friends to be their lobbyist, because it's not going to really effectuate the result. What's going to happen is it'll go to some other Las Vegas-based interest.
So this is a billion-dollar casino project by the Mashpee Wampanoag. Congressman, do you see any long-term effect on that? Because this bill was being fast-tracked. It was expected to be able to get the two-thirds majority that it would need, so it was going to get some Republican support. Even without that, if the president comes out against it, do you think that you can pass it relatively quickly with a simple majority with just Democrats supporting?
I do. We have a core of Republican support. It's a bipartisan bill. The sponsorship is by many of the most respected members on the Republican side of the aisle, people that are in positions of leadership as well as people that have a Native American history of working with tribes across the country. So that core has remained steadfast. We'll move forward and be able to get that majority perhaps in the next week.
I think one other factor to consider is that the president, because of his previous business career, which included casinos, does have some experience. And this isn't the first time that he's gone after tribal casinos. In fact, in 1993, he was testifying before a House committee. He claimed at the time that the mafia was running rampant in the Native American gaming casinos, and he complained the tribes didn't have to pay the same taxes that he did on his casino properties. Let's just listen to a bit of that hearing.
If you look at some of the reservations that you've approved, you, sir, in your great wisdom have approved, I will tell you right now, they don't look like Indians to me, and they don't look like the Indians. Now, maybe we say politically correct or not politically correct. They don't look like Indians to me, and they don't look like Indians to Indians, and a lot of people are laughing at it, and you're telling how tough it is, how rough it is to get approved. Well, you go up to Connecticut, and you look. Now, they don't look like Indians to me, sir.
So what do you think about that, Congressman? I mean, that sounds a lot like the campaign rhetoric we hear from the president these days.
Well, there's a lot of irony there. He's talking about how he pays taxes. We now found out with the disclosure from the New York Times that, indeed, Donald Trump was paying no taxes. So the fact is that the Native Americans do pay taxes and do pay funds. So there is not a competitive advantage that way. So he's wrong on those counts, and unfortunately, by saying things about categorizing people by how they look, unfortunately, is another strain of, frankly, the tweet that had racist parts to it as well that he put out. So this is it's sad, it's disappointing, and unfortunately, not surprising.
Congressman, you mentioned earlier that this legislation is sort of necessitated by a decision that the president's Department of the Interior made. And it's worth mentioning that Matthew Schlapp has responded, saying that legislation conflicts with federal district court and Department of Interior decisions, as well as precedents set by the U.S. Supreme Court. So you're using the same facts there, Congressman, but interpreting them differently. He's saying that the lawmakers should back down here because of those precedents.
Donald Trump signed similar legislation a year ago. He signed it himself with a Virginia tribe. So there's where the lack of consistency is. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't contact the House last week when an identical bill for a California tribe sponsored by a Republican went through. Not a whimper, not a sound, and not a tweet. So it's pretty clear where this is coming from, and he can try to disguise it, cloaking it in a racist tweet as a diversion. His lobbyists can try and disguise it. But it's pretty obvious and unfortunate, but it's something, fortunately, with a new House and a new majority and strong bipartisan support across the aisle and a core support that will stick with us, and stick, more importantly, with the Mashpee tribe. That's going to occur next week, I believe, and then we'll be successful. And in the end analysis, the House of Representatives will be on the right side of history.
That's Congressman Bill Keating. He represents the 9th District of Massachusetts. Congressman, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.